fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Dr. Dan Williamson and his very lovely wife, Lynn, talking about their spiritual journey and their coming into the Catholic Church. We ended the program yesterday on an important note that I want to pick up. But before we do, tell us just quickly, what are you doing right now?
Well, we live in Cincinnati, Ohio. Holy Spirit asked us to go to Cincinnati, Ohio about 15 years ago, and it took us 12 to get there, just because he had us reroute and go to Kentucky and do some work for him there. It was an exciting adventure to be with him, and we decided in 2015 that it was time for us to come in. We got this house in 4 days on an inner city street. Just thought, so often we hear people go into the city, but they don't live in the city when they're ministering, and we realized how vitally important that was to be in this city doing the work for the Lord there. You get a whole different idea and an atmosphere when you're culturally invested into what's going on in the community. So we moved on in, started walking the streets, and we have a dog named Miss Rona. And she loves to take a walk, and we go when she wants to walk because, you know, she finds the kids. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's 7:15 in the morning when the bus is going. Sometimes it's later for the college kids to get on the bus. So if she wants to turn left, I turn left, and she always finds someone for me. I think that's pretty cool.
A lot of people love dogs, so they probably are attracted to the dog. And,
yeah.
Oh, you have such a nice dog.
It's a good way to just open conversation. So
sure.
Dan goes off to work in the city of Cincinnati, and I start doing street ministries of different sorts.
Yeah.
And then we find out where God wants us to Christ connect from that.
Oh, wonderful. And you're teaching, Dan, at the?
Aiken New Tech High School.
Okay.
I'm teaching 8th grade math right now, and next year I'll be teaching engineering and advanced math, and I've been teaching for almost 20 years now.
Very good. So, but where we left off yesterday, you're talking about here you were a Nazarene pastor, mm-hmm. pastoring a Nazarene church, and you went out to Fuller Theological Seminary to work on your doctorate in pastoral theology. Is that right? Doctorate of ministry. And then while you were there, you were prayed. They were talking about the grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you got prayed with there.
At a service every night, we would go to class from 8 to 5, get fed out of a fire hose, and then in the evening, we went to a different church that was known to be on revival, on fire for the Lord.
Okay, some of our listeners might be scratching their heads, like, what do you mean exactly, on revival? Like, what does that mean? Because I think I've noticed that the terminology revival and talking about revival is very much a part of certain streams of Christianity, but in the Catholic Church and other places, they don't use that same kind of language. So what do you mean by that when you say that?
Well, let me unpack it a little bit for
yeah.
you, because a lot of people don't understand revival means to live again. And so you can't live again unless you're dead. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of people's faith is dead. And mm-hmm. There'll be a lot of Protestant churches that will advertise revival, and all they're saying is an evangelist has come to town. He'll be there Tuesday through Sunday. And please come out for just special services. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is an actual presence of the Lord, much like we have in our adoration chapel. When the presence of the Lord gets thick, people are seeking him. In some of the revivals that we've been to, there are hot spots of the presence of God. For example, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. I know that Father Ed Freedy has mm-hmm. been up there, and they even have mass associated with that. They allow that for Catholics. They make provision for that. I went to Brownsville when they had the outpouring down there, and people would stand in line for 12 hours. Thousands of people standing in line starting at 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning, and they wouldn't open the doors till 6 o'clock at night. And I was a pastor. They told me to go down there. I'd already been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I wanted more. And that's an indication, that's a hallmark of somebody that's been touched by revival. One touch from the Lord is not enough. They want the
yeah.
Lord to pray.
So at the heart of it is reviving people who's are spiritually fallen asleep or they're
waking
just not
up.
Alive. Just kind of wake them up. So that's kind
yeah.
of the essence of it. Okay, so you were there and that they were having revival services and you got prayed over there.
Yes.
And you talked about at the end of the program, just experiencing the tender love of God, the transforming power of God's love and getting prayed. So then you headed back to Ohio from there. So as a pastor with this new grace and experience in your life, so what happened then?
Well, I kept it quiet for a year because again, you can tell people about an experience, and if they're not ready to receive it, they will resist you. And especially if they're in a prior move of God. Prior move of God, they resist the next move of God. They get encamped, and they become authoritarian, entrenched. And a lot of ministries will kill off their Timothys. They won't let them come and take it to the next level. I went back, and it's an amazing thing because I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but not the speaking in tongues. And so I prayed with earnest for 30 days. And after 30 days, Dan decided God must not want tongues in the Church of Nazarene. So I stopped praying for that. And the Lord gave me a dream, and he said, go see Pastor Tony Scott over at Cathedral of Praise in Sylvania, Ohio. And I went in there. I called him for an appointment. He said, come in. I shared my experience with about being baptized with the Spirit. And he said, you want to speak in tongues? And I said, I only want what God wants me to have. I was walking the knife blade because I knew if I spoke in tongues, the Nazarenes would fire me. I'd already experienced a baptism and been on the floor, which was already past a little bit what they would be comfortable with. So when I said, I only want what God wants to do, he said, can my wife come in and pray for you? I said, sure. I'm thinking, help me, Jesus. They're going to double up on me. And I was in a straight back chair, and that pastor and wife came in, and he prayed the same prayer they prayed over me out in Pasadena, and that was, come, Holy Spirit. It wasn't a Nazarene prayer. You know, we pray for 15 minutes, and nothing happened. And this guy says, come, Holy Spirit, and I get zapped. And in my throat, it was like a dish rag had clogged up, and I had spoken against the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I'd given a Nazarene version, which says that you can speak French or you can speak English or Spanish. You know, God will give you that special language. And it's not the heavenly language like true prayer language is. And so as soon as I repented, that thing, whatever was blocking me up in my throat, left. I coughed it out, and then I started, tongues came on me, and I'm going to tell you, it was like Eeyore the donkey on Winnie the Pooh. And I felt, I mean, it was an amazing thing. The power of God was on me. I was being thrown around like a dish rag in this chair. The chair would go back, and the front legs would come off. I was getting delivered, and I'd never been around deliverance ministry before. And the pastor's wife, she's jumping up and down, and they were saying, this happened to us 6 months before, and something that I wanted to keep quiet, they began, they didn't use my name, but they said a Nazarene pastor came into their church and received the gift of speaking in tongues and deliverance. And so then everybody's going around trying to find this Nazarene pastor that was speaking in tongues.
So probably a bunch of our listeners are thinking, he must be speaking in tongues because I don't understand what he just said. You know what I mean? They
can't. I understand.
Yeah. And so to say, just to help those who are listening, to say something like the gift of speaking in tongues, which you talked about a prayer language, which in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul makes pretty clear, very clear to us. You know, he said that it's our spirit being really enlivened by the Spirit of God to pray in a language that we don't understand. You know what I mean? And it can almost sound like Babel or something like that. And Paul says he'd love all, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But then he puts that gift in the context of the other gifts, the prophetic gift which serves the body more broadly, or the gift of, ultimately, love is the ultimate gift that he gives. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I have nothing. But I think sometimes people say, well, look, if love is the thing that matters, and speaking in tongues is kind of humbling and kind of odd, I'll just go with the one that matters and I won't think about this. It's a little bit like if you're engaged to somebody and they give you a beautiful diamond ring and a really beautiful bouquet of flower of roses or something like that. You're not going to say, well, forget the roses, I'll just take the diamond, because that's where the real value is, right?
Yes.
And so there's all of God's gifts are important, and all of God's gifts are of great value because he knows we need them, and he gives those gifts, you know. And so part of what's been happening in really the Christian community at large, but very much in the Catholic Church over the last decades, we're celebrating it this year in the 50th year of the celebration of the emergence of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Mm-hmm. Pope Francis is going to be there for the big celebration in Rome because he's very excited about coming to the whole thing. But to say we are living in a time, again, as Pope John Paul II described, and Pope Benedict XVI, the time of grace of a new Pentecost. And part of that grace of the new Pentecost, or right at the heart of it, is a fresh encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that awakens not only that relationship with Christ, but awakens those gifts again and has those gifts moving because they're given to us to help build up the body. Yes. So that's basically, that's essentially what you're talking about, right?
And so
it's happening to a Nazarene boy who that wasn't supposed to happen to.
I was a skeptic. Yeah. And here I am a skeptic, and God began to move on me. And so I took it in the prayer closet because I didn't understand it, and I didn't want to break the church. I was praying for revival. I was praying for transformation. So the Lord began giving me Catholic dreams. Hmm. And I had a dream about a shipwreck. And I walked across this beautiful beach, and I saw this body of water, and it was absolutely stunning. And the Lord says, that's a Catholic lake. So I immediately turned back and went to the Protestant lake and tried to get my boat up on this trailer to get it to move, tried to get people to help me, and they wouldn't help me. And I said, I told the Protestants, I said, you got to see this Catholic lake. And they wouldn't come. I said, Catholics, you got to see this Protestant lake. They wouldn't come. And then the Lord said, when the water rises, we will be one. And I woke up and I thought, why in the world am I having a Catholic dream? And then I had this second Catholic dream a few months later. I was at St. Peter's Square up in a balcony with all these men with red hats on. And Lynn later told me those are cardinals, Dan. And the square.
So you were in Rome. You were in Rome
in
St.
Rome.
Peter's. Okay.
And it was packed with hundreds of thousands of people. How many people you can get there? I don't know the number. But Pope John Paul II got up from the middle of the cardinals and went down to the lectern and began speaking to the people. And then he turned to me and he waved to me, says, Dan, come here and give your testimony.
This was in your dream.
This was in my dream. Okay. That was my second dream. And I thought, what in the world is, I must have ate some bad pizza or something. Why am I having Catholic dreams? Why would all those Catholics want to hear from a Nazarene pastor? I'm happy. Our church has exploded with growth. We've tripled the size of the building. We won the Church Growth Award in the Church of Nazarene 3 years in a row. Why? I'm happy. I don't want to. I've never been in a Catholic church. Why would I want to go there? So all these questions came flooding me. And then I had a shipwreck. The Lord told me to go and tell the district superintendent that I had the gift of a prayer language. And so I went to see him. He was my supposed
friend.
So
the superintendent is a little bit like a bishop almost. Like
exactly.
He's in charge of a whole region in the church or something, of churches and that?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And we had gone to the Atlanta Promise Keeper Clergy Conference, and we had golfed every summer. He's a brand new district superintendent, had only been in the office 2 weeks. His grandfather was a Pentecostal pastor. I thought, if anybody's going to understand the Church of Nazarene, it's going to be my friend Larry. And so I went to talk to him. I shook all the way. You talk about a spiritual battle. And I knocked on the door, and he came out. I said, Dan, what are you doing here? I said, I need to talk to you. He said, I got a meeting in 5 minutes. I said, I only need two. He took me into his office, and I said, I've got the gift of a prayer language. He says, Dan, it is over for you in the Church of the Nazarene. And it was. I had been shipwrecked.
Isn't that interesting? So you can see, I know there's more to this story, and friends, we're going to tune in tomorrow and come back and see how the Lord brought Dan and Lynn together in their journey, and then their journey into the Catholic Church. But so interesting to have those dreams. Acts chapter 1 says, your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions, or is it the other way around? One of those. But nonetheless, you were experiencing the Lord prompting you, speaking to you, giving you sneak previews of coming attractions, which is what the Lord often does with us,
isn't it?
It's exciting. You guys can be back tomorrow?
Yes,
we've got to have you back. Got to hear more from Lynn this time. Next time we'll tune in, friends. But have your friends tune in. It's an amazing story, an amazing journey. And God has an amazing call on your life, friend. If you don't know that yet, we're hoping today is a day you're going to open your heart to Him. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.